Don't know what to do with this cane. Down back here. Open your Bibles to the third chapter of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 3. I'll not sing for you. You will thank me. I'm going to read the first two verses, and then down to about verse 11 before we pray. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that they were, unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a chapter. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. We thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing. We thank you for the message on intercession that's come. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather together in a free country, preach the gospel, your word, and Lord, we pray that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. We pray that the word of God would touch lives in this room and lives of those that are listening. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. I've had 3 weeks, and I got generally sick for that much time. I guess I thank the Lord I've been fairly healthy most of my life. But at any rate, I got to thinking about this Romans, book of Romans. You know what we're passing out? Every Saturday, we're passing out the book of Romans and the Gospel of John. And the reason why we do that is because these are two of the clearest messages of how people get saved. If you want to know how to get saved, you get it faster there with those two books. So we're passing them out, and I praise God for all the people that come and go and pass out tracts and pass out these gospels. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Excuse me. Now, look at Romans chapter 3, verse 1. Very interesting question. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, you're going to get a comparison of Christianity and Judaism in the Bible. And Paul was a great Jew. He was a very dedicated Jew. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And that would be like you saying up in New York that you went to Harvard or Yale, and you had a degree from there, and you'd be recognized for a government position somewhere. It was a very, very honorable position that he had. He had very good training. You talk about understanding it, he understood it. He was a fanatic Jew. When he became a Christian, he became a fanatic Christian. He was sold out all the way. And he's the perfect one to give you an example of what the differences are, what the advantages are of Judaism and Christianity. And so he says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Is there any advantage to be the Jew? Yes, he says there is. He said, much every way. Chiefly, what's number one? Because he hath unto them committed the oracles of God. You know what he's talking about? This right here. This is a Jewish book. You have the Old Testament there. We've got the writings of David 3,000 years ago, and we still read them, and I love them. We've got Moses. Can you imagine David going out against Goliath? I mean, he's probably about 17 years old. David was not a big man. David was probably about 5'4", 5'5", something like that. And Goliath was as tall as that wall. That's a big boy. Somebody asked that, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? Goliath had 4 brothers. I love the sling. That's right. Or the sling. And in fact, I have one. I bought it. I saw it advertised someplace. And it's to sling golf balls. Yeah. And a golf ball is a hard instrument. That would be just about like a rock, you know. And I always think of David coming out here, and there's this great big 10-foot tall giant, a great soldier, a champion of his own people, and he had a bunch of brothers just like him. And he's challenging them, and what comes out against him? Little David. And he doesn't even have a big sword. He's out there with a little twirl of leather. You know something? He takes his mask and says, what? You come out to me like you're coming out after a dog? And David puts that sling and runs, hits him right there. Right there. Kills him. Knocks him down. He's knocked out. He takes his sword out and cuts his heads off. And David probably had a hard time lifting that head. Wow. What a tremendous story. I love the story. I wish I could preach on it all the time. Love it. What advantage then hath the Jew? Well, you got Genesis. You got the creation story. You got all of these books in the Bible. You got the prophets, men who spoke the word of God. And by the way, the prediction of Jesus Christ, who he was going to be and how he was going to be born and where he was going to be born, what his ancestry would be, is all in those Jewish books. And they had scholars that studied those things. When they wanted to know where Christ was going to be born, they'd call for some of these scholars to come in. They could tell them exactly the place he's going to be born. That is a valuable thing. You understand?
Yes.
That is a valuable thing. What advantage does a Jew have over anybody else in the world? He had the Word of God. He had the Word of God. Now, let me say something to you. See that right there? That's my Bible. That's a preaching Bible I started out with 2004. And finally got a few pages messed up on it and whatever. But I still carry it with me. I've got a bunch of others. I've had a lot of preaching Bibles. I've been preaching 64 years or better. Let me tell you something. You have an advantage. What if you didn't read? You know, there are still people who don't read. The Jews made sure their children read. Why?
So they could study the oracles of God. So they could believe for themselves. They could read for themselves what the Word of God was saying.
Where would you be if you couldn't read and you were poor? Only rich people, before the modern printing press and other things, could afford books. Because they were copied by hand. There was a whole group of people in the Jewish nation copying the Word of God over and over and over again. Some of them had it memorized. And they done that. That was their job. There were scripts. You have an advantage. You can go to the grocery store and find one of these for a dollar. Or you can go to a Bible bookstore and get you a really nice one with real good print and that feels so good. I got a bunch of them. You know something? I believe God is going to be very dissatisfied with this generation that does not want to spend time reading the Word of God. You say, well, I don't have time. I don't read well. Well, start reading and you'll read better. That's how you learn how to read. You read and you keep reading and you find out new words. Get you a dictionary and set it right beside your Bible. And when you read, find out what that word means. The Jews had their people where they could understand the promises of God. Jesus Christ, most everything about His life was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. They knew what His heritage was going to be. He was going to be a son of Abraham and He was going to be a son of David. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ came out to be. The amazing thing, if you knew where all of these things were going to take place, then you might be looking for them. We have the stories in the Gospel in the New Testament of this man in the temple that had a vision of himself that he was going to see the salvation of God before he died. And he was there when Mary comes to present Jesus, the baby Jesus. Lord, I can die in peace now. I've seen your salvation. Well, you strange things. But let me tell you what. I believe every bit of this book is true. I believe I have a great advantage. Now, I have big print Bibles and I have real small print Bibles. I have Bibles that I can carry with me, and I have Bibles that are too heavy I wouldn't want to carry them with me. But I've bought a lot of Bibles in my time, and I give them away. I've given them away over 60 years. What do you think about a man having an opportunity to understand prophecies of God and he won't take 15 minutes to look at it? I was a supposed Christian. When I was 11, we were Methodist family. We went to Sunday school and church. When my folks were in the country, they went to almost everything. When we moved into the city, they felt like they were country hicks and they didn't feel like they suited everywhere else. So we went to Sunday morning. So I was raised up really never going to church hardly Sunday night or revival meetings or things like that. I made a profession of faith when I was 11. And I was sprinkled in the Methodist church and I was taught some things of scripture and whatever, but it never really interested me. When that Bible came home, it went into a bookshelf. I didn't read it every day. I didn't pray every day. I never thought about it. It didn't interest me. I had memorized the Beatitudes and the Ten Commandments and Psalm 23 and Psalm 19 and some other things like that, but it was just for Sunday school. You have an advantage. Most of you can read. Maybe all of you can read. Some of you read better than others. I understand. So you might read slow. Well, read slow. And the more you read slow, you'll read faster. But you ought to be spending some time every day having this book color your thinking. Amen. You ought to be able to go. I remember when we were in Roswell, New Mexico, and I was in the Air Force. And I got saved. And I had two little boys, one of them 13 months older than the other one. But boy, they were almost like twins after just a little while. And I'm the baby of the baby. I didn't see a lot of little babies. I never changed a diaper in my life. I never made a dime going to somebody's house and watching their kids. They might not have trusted me with them. But at any rate, I knew nothing about it. And you know what I did? I got saved, and then it became a thought to my mind. What does God think about raising children? And my wife and I, she was saved. We began to read and write and think about the verses that told us how to raise children. Well, by the grace of God, I had five, and they never did do me too much harm. I hope I didn't do them too much harm. But at any rate, I found the answer. You know where the answer was? The oracles of God. Now, you may think, like some, that the only way you can get to the Word of God is to go back in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and go through a bunch of lexicons, which are nothing but dictionaries, translation dictionaries. You know where I go? Right here. King James Version of the Bible is good enough for me. You know what I'm going to do? You know what I have bet my soul? I have bet my soul this is the truth. And I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ by what I find in this book right here. When you ask me what the Bible says, this is what I give you. Every time I preach, you don't ever hear me correcting the book. You don't ever hear me retranslating it. You know what I think? I think this right here is the Word of God, and it's true. And you know what? I've got another thing. All these modern versions, and you want my opinion of all these modern versions, that's fine. I can show you how to get saved in almost every one of them. I can show you some things about heaven and hell and the Christian life, every single one of them. If you just take that one and read it and believe it, you'd do well. Now, what advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way, chiefly because they had unto them were committed the oracles of God, the Word of God. What advantage do you have today? Go to a Bible bookstore. Get something that feels good in your hand. Get a print that you like. Buy it and read it. Hey, how about studying it? You'll learn a whole lot of things. You might even find out that there were some things that really do you a whole lot of good. But you're too lazy. Excuse me?
Amen.
You're too lazy. You're too convinced your television has the truth. I'm pre-television. My dad bought a TV when I was 16. Hey, by the time I was 16, I was already driving cars, dating girls, and playing ball. I didn't care much about television then. Now, I watch a lot of it now. I get some good things I like. I like shoot 'em ups. I like the good guys to win. You know, I like them to end on a happy note. I like the guy to get the girl at the end of the playing. That's me, okay? That's all right. But you know what I do? I read the Bible. I've been reading the Bible for a long, long time. I traded my camels for a New Testament. And I read that New Testament completely through 20 times the first year I was saved. 20 times. You reckon you pick it up, you read something and learn something else if you read it the second time? You think you'd see something else if you read it the third or fourth time? Well, after you get down to the 20th time, you know pretty well what it's saying. That really helped me when I was learning Spanish. I decided to be a missionary and went to Guatemala. I went to language school in Mexico, Guadalajara, Mexico. And I could take that Mexican Bible and read right here in the book of Romans and say, Romans 3 has got to say this. It helped me a whole lot in learning Spanish. It really did. If you're so lazy, you will not take the time to read the Word of God. Why should God give you any wisdom? Amen. Why should God answer any of your prayers? Amen. Why should He be worried about what you think? God, as we heard this morning, a great sermon on intercession. All of us ought to be intercessors. You ought to be praying for your children every day and every night. Every day my kids were out in a car or out on a date, I was praying for them till they came in. Why? Because things happen in this life. You got a television? Then you ought to know what's happening out there. People are getting killed. People are getting in wrecks. People are seeing miserable, miserable things done to other people. Well, wouldn't you like to know what God has to say? I did. And you know, I learned something. I learned what God said about certain things. What advantage has the Jew? Unto them were committed the oracles of God. That is a great advantage. Out of all the peoples in the world, you know who had the Word of God? The Jewish nation. They had the Word of God. Out of all the people in San Antonio, you know who's got the Word of God? Christians. Amen. Christians. That Old Testament was a picture of what was coming in the New Testament. It was a shadow. And the light of the New Testament, the coming of Jesus Christ, His substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, His invitation, come unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world. This is where it is. This is where it is. You ought to be reading it. Okay? Read it 15 minutes a day and you'll read through the Bible in a year. It's not that big a book then. But you know something? God gave you an advantage, and if you don't take care of it, God's going to hold you accountable. I tell you for sure. I can go down to a Bible bookstore and they've got hundreds. Can you afford one? Yes, you can afford one. Spend a little money. You spend it on everything else. Get you a Bible that feels good. Get you a Bible that looks good. Get you a Bible that you can read with ease. Get you a Bible you're comfortable with and read it every day. Make time. Make time. Turn the TV off for 15 minutes. 30 minutes or an hour. Go to bed early. Get up early. Do something. Get a hold of the truth. Do you want the advantage? Here Paul is telling you, what advantage did the Jew have? He had this great big advantage. He had the Word of God. He had all the promises. You know, that Old Testament's a pretty sweet reading. I love David. 3,000 years ago, David, 3,000 years ago, and he wrote things that touch my heart today. His confession of sin in the 51st Psalm is heartbreaking. His trust in the 23rd Psalm, wow. How about Psalm 19? How about Psalm 119? How about Isaiah? When is the last time you read Isaiah? When's the last time you looked at Isaiah 53? And you could look at that just quite often. It bless your heart because it's Christ on the cross. It's Christ dying for sinners. It's Christ fulfilling his commitment to come and save lost souls. You know what? I got saved. I was in the Air Force and I was 20 years old and I got saved. And when I got saved, my religion that I had didn't amount to much. Boy, but when I got saved, it amounted to something. It changed my life. It changed the life of my wife. It changed the life of my five children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Amen. What advantage? I consider that the greatest advantage I have in life. Amen. To have the Bible where I can just read it and it's cheap enough I can buy it and I can spend a couple of $100 and get one of the best ones ever made. Something worth something. Something that feels good. Something big enough to read. Why don't you spend a little money on that? Why don't you spend a little time on that? I think you're making a very big mistake to have a Bible and you're not reading it. And a lot of you people that are sitting home, you ought to be here. You ought to get your Bible and come on to church. Fellowship with Christians. Sing with Christians. Hear good messages. Shake on somebody's hand when you're going out the door. Become a part of the church of the living God. Be a testimony. Okay, look down at verse 10. As it is written, verse 9. What then, are we better than they? Are the Jews better than the Gentiles? Are the Gentiles better than the Jews? No, in no wise. For we both before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. You know what the problem with all of us is? We're sinners. Amen. What are you going to do about your sin? Well, the Bible's got the answer for that too, if you just listen. All under sin. Look at verse 10. You read this with me. As it is written, there's none righteous. How many? No, not one. You can sit up here and look down your nose at somebody because they do this or that or some other something. But I tell you what, when you're pointing your finger, you got three coming back at you. You ever thought about that?
Amen.
You go ahead and point your finger. Oh, well, he drinks. Or they gamble. Or they... in adultery or whatever. Well, you're a sinner too.
Amen.
Man, I can't get away from sin. I read the Ten Commandments and I think, I hope I don't have to complete that. Jesus did it for me. Our hearts. We are so selfish. My little newest great-grandson, Rocky, he's selfish. He demands attention of his mother. He demands to be fed. He demands to be clean. He demands a whole lot of things. She's going to lose a lot of sleep. I didn't lose much sleep. My wife woke up. They could whimper all they wanted to. I was still going to be dozing away. But my wife is up walking kids. Yeah. Why? Because they're selfish. They think their needs ought to be met. They think you ought to get attention right now. Pay attention to me. I'm important. I'm the most important. And you know the problem with everybody in this room? You haven't outgrown it.
Yeah. Amen.
You still think you're the most important person in the room. And you're not, because I am. Amen or oh me. And you think the same way. Tell me you don't. You're selfish. You know, why does a guy knock another guy in the head for $5? He's selfish. He doesn't think about the other guy. All he thinks about is himself. Why do people race their cars and run over people? Because they're selfish. They want their way. And they think they have the whole thing down and they have the right to do it. Do you see how we drive? I said we. I didn't point the finger at you. You see how we all drive? I'm including you. Had this young lady, I'm trying to change lanes. You know, you're supposed to have a little space in between cars. And she, I don't know, she could have been 30 or she could have been 17. I have no idea. But I have my light on. I'm wanting to get over. I'm going to take a left up here the next block or two. And I'm trying to turn. And she's gritting her teeth at me and running up to the other car. She's 10 foot behind the car going 40 miles an hour. And she's grinning. She's gritting her teeth at me. I wanted to slap her face. I wanted to tell her to take a new driving course and let somebody in. But it didn't make any difference. I went a block past where I was going to turn and turned anyway. Are you selfish? Amen. There are a lot of divorced people probably, even in this room. A lot of divorced people in our country and have been a long time, as long as there's been marriages. It's selfishness on one or both parts. Tell me it's not. Amen. It's selfishness. I don't want to do what you want me to do, and I'm not going to do anything with you anymore. And I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not God. Well, if you're going to make a marriage go a bunch of years, brother, you're going to forgive a lot of times. Because you're going to let each other down a lot of times. The Bible here says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He's talking to you. Look at verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Boy, you're in shape. You think about it just a minute. Unless you're one of these educated idiots. I know some people who have doctor's degrees that can look at the world and not see God. You look around you. The intricacy of your eyes has been impressed upon me recently. But I think about all things about my body. I think about diseases and germs, male and female. It's in everything. You know something? That's no accident. Amen. And if you have a brain in your head, you've got to know it is no accident. Now, we love electricity. I love electricity. I think electricity is one of the greatest things we ever discovered. What else is out there that we don't know anything about? I think about that all the time. There are other things going in through this room right here, just like all of these television programs and radio programs and whatever, that you and I just don't tune into. But it's there. Think about all the things that electricity saves you. Think about the medicines. I'm 85 years old. That's old. I'm not getting old. I am old. I look in the mirror and I see I'm old. I get up and start to walk to another room and I feel I'm old. You look at me and say, you could look better. Yeah, you could too. You having fun? I'm having fun. Look at chapter 3, verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, the uncircumcision through faith, being justified freely. In almost every church you go to, in almost every religion there is in the world, their benefit of God and the salvation of God is a reward. But it's not in Christianity. It's a gift. It's a gift. Nobody earned it. Nobody's lived good enough.
You think maybe, well, when God gets down to the end, he's going to divide and put a dividing line, and you're a little bit better, more good than bad, and he's a little more bad than good, and you're on the good side? No. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll go to hell. As we learned this morning, no priest, no preacher, no parent, no great person in the Bible other than Jesus Christ can intercede for you.
Amen.
You need an intercessor.
Yeah, amen.
You need a go-between. You need a lawyer. And Jesus Christ is the lawyer. And I always like to have a lawyer that's the son of the judge. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Being justified freely. I never paid God back. God saved me. God's given me a lot of things. God has blessed me. God has answered my prayers. I believe he had 2 miracles in my life in 1 year. I've never seen any more, but I saw them. I have the testimony of a doctor that did this stuff for 30-something years. And he said he had never seen it happen. Wow. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is only one name. It's not Mohammed. It's Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm sympathetic enough with people that are of foreign religions or wasting away in South American countries and don't even know how to read or write. But the Bible is very clear. There is one mediator, one, between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't come that way into his presence, you don't get in. Do you understand me?
Amen.
It's exclusive. They ask you, said, what is the way? And in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say a way. Not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was the Savior that said that. Do I believe it's true? Yes, I believe I have the oracles of God right here. I'm ready to go to the judgment seat of Christ saying this book is true or there is no truth for me to find. You need to get into it and get the car by yourself. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Who's good? Jesus is good. Who is sinless? Jesus is sinless. Praise God. Let me tell you something. I've got a name. Moses went up to the bush and he looked at the bush and burning and talked to God, talked to him face to face. He said, God, who do I tell them sent me? Who do I tell them is their God? He said, I am. You're reading the Gospel of John, you'd read 7 times Jesus says, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door by me if any man shall enter in. I'm the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. Let me tell you what, we got a Savior. You need a Savior. I'm going to recommend to you this Savior. Verse 27. Where's boasting then? Oh, man. There's a lot of boasting in the church. I won more souls than you did. I passed up more tracts than you did. I gave more money than you did. I came more regularly than you did.
Where's boasting? It's excluded. Nobody can boast. Abraham can't boast. Moses can't boast. Two of the greatest men. John the Baptist can't boast. He had about a 6 months ministry, and the Bible said he's the greatest prophet born of women. Herod cut his head off. Ah, but he rises up there, but he no boast. It's all in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer to your problem. Jesus has the power to save your soul. Jesus Christ paid your debt. And Jesus Christ wants to live in you. You can be saved today. Do you know that? You can be saved. It's a spiritual thing. It's not walking down an aisle in the church. It's not being baptized in a tank of water. Those are all good things to do, and you probably ought to do them. But what you need to do is call upon Jesus and ask forgiveness for your sins and mercy for your soul. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Is it clear to you?
Amen.
Over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that clear enough? You need to go back to the Greek to get the understanding of that? You need to go to some great preacher and ask him to preach on it to get the understanding? You don't need any understanding. It's clear. The Word of God is plain. It's clear. Praise God. It is. What an advantage you've got today. You've got this book right here with the eyewitness testimonies of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets of God to give you assurance. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth his confession is made unto salvation. He was delivered for our offenses. Your sins have been paid for. You may be sitting here with all your sins on your own back, but they've been paid for. What you need to do is accept the payment. You need to accept the truth that God's reaching out to you in his love and in his mercy and in his provision. That you can have eternal life if you call upon Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, touch somebody's heart. Touch somebody's heart. Touch them as you touched us. Have mercy upon them as you had mercy upon us. Help them to see clearly the gospel is a gift that you give of eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.